listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Glad you're here. Today we're diving into one of Dr. Pat Allen's timeless teachings. Be careful of your thoughts, for they become your words. Think about that for a moment. Every relationship, every decision, every moment of connection starts with a single thought. The way we think shapes the way we speak, and our words create our reality. Dr. Pat used to remind us that our words are contracts with ourselves and with others. When we speak fear, we create distance. When we speak love, honesty, and respect, we build connection. So today we're going to explore how our thoughts and words either bring us closer to love we want or push it away. Whether you're single, dating, or in a long-term relationship, this conversation might just shift how you think, speak, and love. So I'm your host, Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and we have Andy Shaw available. He's a trained coach by Dr. Pat Allen, and we do have a call-in number if you'd like to call in and ask us some questions, 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. When you call the show, if you do not get a pickup call, just wait a couple minutes because we'll be talking to somebody before you, and call back when time permits. And tonight we have Andy. Andy, are you available?
Hello.
Hi. So we have a topic tonight. Are you familiar with that topic, Andy?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet. What is it?
Well, remember this? You have to remember this. She had a big billboard. It said, "Be careful of your thoughts, for they become your words. Be careful of your words, for they become your actions. Be careful of your actions, for they become your habits. Be careful of your habits, for they become your character. Be careful of your character, for it becomes your destiny." And then I think she added something about another sentence after that, too.
So making money at the doctor's office and health and everything else you do.
Yes. So remember that? She had a big a wall plaque that she had that on. And you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
So give us your interpretation so that people know that. I shared it with my group the other day because it, you know, we all have thoughts, and those thoughts do become your reality. Can you explain that a little more, and then I'll tell you my interpretation?
I can deal with my own life. Like, I had 15 surgeries roughly before I was 18 years old. And when I joined the Navy, I was always happy. And apparently the guy I eventually learned to know used to call me Smiles before he knew my name. And he asked me, "Why the bleep are you happy?" And I told him, "Because I wanted to be." And my life was happier because I chose it to be. And for those who are miserable because they choose that, their life is miserable. So it's really just about what you choose. And every word comes after a thought. Every action comes after a thought. Thoughts are your first thing that define the rest of what you're going to do. What's your take?
Well, mine is, it's kind of the law of attraction. What you think about comes about. So your thoughts, let me pull that up again. Yeah. Your thoughts become what you speak to yourself or to others. And then your words become your actions, because when you believe your thoughts and words, you start acting that way. If you feel that you're not good enough or that nobody will love you, you're sending that out in the way you speak, the way you carry yourself, the way your actions are. You might shut down and not look at people to approach you. You might gain weight so that people stay away from you because you feel you're not good enough. And then it becomes your habits. And then it becomes your character. You actually feel that you're not worthy to have a romantic partner. And then that's your destiny. You set it all up by your thoughts and words and actions and beliefs and habits.
I 100% agree with that.
So when people, the ladies I have, let me just throw out the phone number again if they just 323-203-0815. We'd love to get some callers. And we'll take callers on this subject, or we'll take callers on any other subject or questions you want answered. In my ladies group, I help guide ladies into dating and relationships and using Dr. Pat's communication tools. And the one thing that's hard for them to shift is their own belief system. They're stuck on either all men are going to use me, or my parents did this to me, or I'm not good enough. They're going to leave me. So that's running through their head all the time. So when they meet a man, they generally self-sabotage it, because their thoughts become their words, become their action, their destiny, and their character. They project that onto the people that they want to get close to. So if you can get a hold of your thoughts and your words and speak clearly, you're more likely to move forward and get into hopefully a healthy relationship.
You know, are you familiar with the podcaster Jay Shetty?
No, tell me about him.
So I learned about him because he did an interview with Emma Watson, and I really appreciate Emma Watson as a human being, and even more so after the interview. It was very honest. But the very end of it was weird. If you listen to the very end, he refers to an interview he did with Dr. Gabor Maté on trauma. And so I listened to that also. It was a little over an hour long. But Dr. Maté talked about it's not the trauma that happens to you. It's a psychic scar that's left behind.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things he mentioned was that trauma is fixable whenever you want it to be.
Oh, yes. And this is that Gabor?
Yeah, the Gabor Maté.
I know. I saw some of his stuff. He's very fascinating. So how can you – okay, so tell me, how did he talk about fixing trauma?
Well, I'd have to go back to it. I didn't write anything down.
Just off the top of your head, what did you remember? Because he mentioned something about ADHA too.
It was basically do the work. You don't have to go through everything that you went through to get to a better place. You only have to get through a small percentage of it.
Okay.
And it tends to be enough to accept the rest, which is very interesting to me.
Okay.
So... but it is all about if you do the work, you can get the benefit.
I heard a podcast by John Gray one time about going back, and he said to go back and with a notebook and go back to when you remember being hurt or wounded or trauma or whatever it is that you remember that hurt you, that may have given you that trauma response, and go back and talk to yourself as an adult to that child. And ask, you know, what can I do to help you? And basically try to talk to the inner child, talk to yourself to fix it. And then explain that the people did the best they could and that you'll be okay. And then you're supposed to write and journal about it as well. And that supposedly heals that, at least brings it, you're supposed to bring it back to awareness to help heal it. Relive it is kind of what he said.
Yeah, when I first started with Dr. Pat, it's one of the things I did.
Oh, yeah? Tell us about that in more detail. I just gave you an overview of what I heard.
Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it was basically, you know, look at my past pain and look at what surrounded that and make the realization or the acceptance that people did the best they could with what they had.
I'm sorry, Andy, we have a caller on. I'm sorry. A caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I had a question.
Okay, how can we help you?
I'm divorced, and I was in a committed monogamous relationship for about 2 years. I had kids, and he has kids. And we're both financially independent. He's significantly more independent than I am, but still we're both independent. I was curious. We didn't have a verbal agreement about anything. I was curious what your thoughts are on how to approach generosity and finances in a relationship like that.
Perfect. On our website, www.drpatallen.com. Dr. Pat talks about the relationship contracts item sheet, and it goes over time, space, money, and play. Each person writes down in those categories what they want and what they don't want, and you bring it to each other and you negotiate it. There is about a 50-minute streaming video that explains how to do it. That's what Dr. Allen did to every one of her private clients when they got into relationships headed towards marriage.
I would love to do that, but I'd be doing it by myself right now.
That's okay. You do it for yourself so that you know what you want and don't want, and then you can present your paper to him and see what he thinks.
So we had a few situations, and some people have told me, and I don't feel this way at all because I know who I am, but some people suggested that, like, when you get divorced and you have kids, and you date someone else who's divorced with kids, that your finances should be absolutely separate and there should be no expectations whatsoever.
Dr. Pat always believes you design your own relationship. What's comfortable for you.
There's no right or wrong, really.
There's no moral compass on the proper way to do it. Because somebody might have more money than the other person, so that person may want to be generous to give to your kids and to your family unit. So we can't just say, okay, you keep this money and I keep this money, and you may live in poverty and he lives like a king because somebody said you can't share money.
If I can add something
here. Go ahead.
It is really important that you do it on your own, regardless of whether he comes to the table or not. The reason I say that is, are you the feminine in the relationship? Are you or the masculine?
That's a great question. I'm very, very, very feminine, but I think I can show up a little bit masculine sometimes. And I've tried to work on that because I think I can definitely lean into masculine sometimes, and I really don't want to.
Okay, then I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to give you some homework to help.
Okay.
When you do this relationship contract, right, you're looking at time first. You have your I time, which is you alone, we, you and him, and us, which is you, him, and anybody else on the planet. If you're the masculine energy, you write down what everything you do want, then everything you do not want. And then if you're the feminine energy, you flip that. Everything you do not want, then everything you do want. I'm going to give you a challenge. Then I want you to write both ways. So masculine and feminine, and see which one feels better. Because then that'll help you decide on which energy system you want to be in. It also help you to bring to your conscious level how you communicate. Because then you've made a choice.
Do you think that most men, after they get divorced, they, if they have children, basically just want to have a bright line rule where you're responsible for you, I'm responsible for me. We can have a beautiful time together and celebrate life in many, many ways. But when it comes to sharing responsibility, you know, you're you, I'm me, and we can spend time together and go on trips together and go out for dinners together. But that's kind of...
That's a relationship of convenience, and that's okay. You can have a relationship of convenience where you do your thing, I do mine, and we come together, or you have a covenant where you work together. all of them are okay. It's whether you negotiate if both people want the same thing. And Dr. Pat always says, both go in and decide. It sounds like you don't want the convenient relationship, and he does. So that might be, you might be incompatible, because he wants a relationship where you're everything separate and we come together when we feel like it, but everything's 50-50 and we do our own. But you might want something where it's more blended.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bit of a all-in type of person, and a little bit, I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know, I wonder if I'm not responsible, because I do like to blend things and I do like to, you know.
Women want to be financially, we want to be paid. We want to be taken care of. And masculine energy wants to give, protect, provide. But he may have been, he may have had the first wife take a lot of his money. So the second time around, a lot of men are very gun shy on joining finances and getting married.
Are you a person?
Someone said, back to what you just said, is someone suggested that wanting those things makes you want to have a sugar daddy, not a partnership.
No, that I don't know who you're talking to, but they're not absolutely correct. It might be their point of view, but that's not the human race's point of view. Sugar daddy is somebody who gets paid just to have her around, like a mistress.
Yeah, I was very puzzled, because it didn't make sense to me, but I was curious what you guys' perspective was.
Is this a friend or a therapist?
I wanted a therapist. I definitely wanted, I'm just kind of an all-in kind of person, so I definitely wanted, like, his kids. I considered my bonus children.
Stepchildren, that's what stepchildren is. You treat them like they're your own, but there's boundaries with you disciplining them and stuff. You have to set up the rules on what kind, cool, what he wants you to do with his kids. If he wants you to discipline them, if he wants you to take them to school, set up those type of agreements so everybody knows where everybody's the boundaries are.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Okay, so I'll go to the website. I think it's good to know. I really thank you. I wish I had spoken to you guys years ago, because I think it's very confusing. It's difficult, like, when you've never been married and don't have children. And then afterwards, it's this whole spider's web of you've got kids, he's got kids, there's exes involved.
Yes.
And no one teaches you how to communicate how to communicate, what to communicate. And it's sticky and it's hard and it's.
Well, Dr. Pat, we have that free access video it's Dr. Pat teaching you how to communicate with lovers, coworkers, family members, and then it talks about the relationship contract items. So just for your own well-being, it might be something you look into and watch, and then you can always email me at the office for any questions or call us back.
Okay, I really appreciate
that. Information. You want as much information as you can to make your own decision.
And may I also suggest It's a Man's World and Woman's Universe. It goes into that communication manual in more greater detail, and I think that'll help you. And then also,
Could you repeat that? It's a man's world, but a woman's universe.
It's a book.
Yeah, the title is "It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe."
What a great name. It's a man's world and a woman's universe. Yeah.
By Dr. Pat Allen. Yeah.
With respect to, like, when men get divorced and they feel like they have been, hurt, is that something that changes with time, or does that not change? Like, if someone's been burned in that way.
It depends on the man. Men have to do good at work to build up their finances. and then somebody takes them away and they're older, it's harder for them to build it back up again. So they get very leery on getting taken advantage of again. So sometimes, as Dr. Pat said, men do not rush to the altar. They don't rush down to the altar. We require them to marry us and for to have babies and be monogamous.
No, it's not even about marriage, just partnership. I mean, I don't need to get married again. I mean, I would love to, but
everybody has he may have some trauma with getting married. He may have been burned, and that's something he has to work out. That it could, or you know, it's his trauma. He may have been burned. We don't know, and we don't know if he'll change. Maybe you'll be the lucky one that says, if you want me in the future, this is what I require to make me happy.
Well, we're not together at the moment, and I'm sad about it, but I also don't want to push somebody to do things that they're not wanting to do.
As Dr. Pat always says, accept him the way he is, even if he wants 50-50, reject him and move on if you want to find somebody that's more aligned with you, or tolerate him, which I'm hearing you're tolerating, which you'll blow up eventually.
Well, I did blow up.
That's what tolerating is. I could tell you weren't really good with his idea of how to do this relationship.
Well, I think things got, you know, again, it was...
When was the blow up, can I ask? When was the blow up?
Well, we broke up. We dated for about 2.5 years. We broke up a year ago, and we've been in contact.
Okay.
And we have a lot of respect for one another, and just a very, very compatible on some things. But I don't know. I guess, again, like I said, I'm a little bit, I go all in very quickly. And I think that, you know, he's more sensible.
Yes.
And a little bit more like, I fall in love quickly, and I fell in love with his children quickly. And
that's the feminine energy. Yes.
Well, it hurts. And I think it was too, I think I didn't see what he had gone through fully, even though I was very supportive and he was of me. I think maybe you have to accept people for who they are and their capacity. And
but you have to also have to be compatible.
You don't have to accept anybody.
I think it's very sticky when you have children.
Yeah, if you can accept people for the way they are, but if you're not compatible, somebody's going to tolerate and give in to the other person's wants.
Yeah. I'm hearing some words here. I'm hearing some should and some have tos. I'm going to urge you, caller, to look at the rational and emotional table of words. And
Like the should versus the could. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because people are shitty on you. And, you know, Dr. Pat likes to say, don't shit on me. And you can say it with a smile. But it's from my point of view, it sounds like you're getting pressure from outside. And this relationship contract will help you solidify in your own mind who you are and where you are and where you want to be and who you want to be.
Mm. Yeah.
And the only way to do that, the only way to get from point A to point B is for you to do the legwork. If you want to get there, you have to do this. If you don't want to get there, don't do it at all. But that this is a price tag for getting there, is doing the legwork.
Yeah, that's a really good cast, and I really appreciate you pointing that out to me. I do fall into that trap sometimes of should versus could.
It's a lot of pressure and unnecessary.
Yes. I grew up in a very strict environment, highly critical and obligatory. So I've definitely softened up through the years, but Yes, and thank you for pointing that out to me. Another thing to learn and to grow on.
Well, something else. You may be part of that Be Perfect group. Do you like to be perfect a lot?
Yeah, I was raised to be perfect.
Okay. So on that website, Dr. Allen's one, there's a Want Institute, board work, wantinstitute.net. It talks about your drivers and allowers. And your Be Perfect is one of the things that is cancer causing. It will hurt you in the long run. So instead of being perfect, be excellent. Like, I'll give you an example in my life. I take karate 4 days a week. And I told my Sifu, my instructor, that my minimum is 2 days a week. I call that a success. 3 days a week is excellent, and 4 days a week is perfect. And I strive for perfection, but if I get successful, I'm okay with it. And the problem with perfection is none of us are perfect. Inherently, none of us are perfect. So it's a goal few of us get little at a time. So if you can possibly change your mindset from being perfect to being excellent and give yourself some grace.
Excellent. Yeah.
Then I think you will get a better experience.
Thank you. It's a beautiful thing to say to someone. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I had another question. The high buy letter.
Yes.
I know Pat Allen says you should wait 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to wait 8 weeks, or is that a suggestion? I mean, not that you have to, but is
there... Who are you wanting to send this to?
I'm actually asking this for a friend who was dating a guy. And,
what?
I didn't even know if they were dating. Actually, they were spending a lot of time together.
Let me ask you. It depends. Did he just go away, or did she do something to push him away? Well, how was the breakup? That's important for me.
Okay, so I'll share some background. They were very, very friendly for about a year. They weren't dating, but they were spending a lot of time together. And then she kept saying she wanted to be in a relationship that was committed and with the goal of marriage. And he wasn't there, and so she said goodbye. And then he came back about 9 months later and started calling her and saying, "I want to see you, I want to see you." So she agreed to see him, and they had a really lovely night together where he kind of expressed his feelings and said that he missed her and he wanted to be the man that she wanted, and they didn't sleep together, but they were kind of
close,
intimate.
Okay.
And then after a few days after that, she had been invited to an event, and she said to him, "Hey, you know, I'm invited to this event. I really would love for you to join me. I don't want to go alone, and I'd love for you to be there. You know, would you let me know to be a companion and escort me?" And he basically said he'd get back to her and that he was uncomfortable in social situations. And he never got back to her.
And so he hasn't called her since. So he hasn't called her since.
He called her once on a Friday night at 10 o'clock at night. And that was the day before the event. The event was on a Saturday night. And and he was used to going to these kind of events. It was like kind of like a fancy. So,
The event has no meaning to it at all. I'm just gathering the other information. So did he reach out? Have they been talking since?
No, he reached, she asked him on a Tuesday. He didn't call her back until Friday night at 10 o'clock. The event was on Saturday night.
And he said no to the event.
He didn't leave a message. She had a missed call from him.
Okay. So basically, let me ask you one question. Have they communicated since that last talk?
No.
Okay, that's it. Okay, so he basically ghosted her. So what she can do is she can write him a hi-bye letter. It has nothing to do with him basically, he ruminated and missed her. He came back. He had a nice time, but he got scared again. He has a right to do that. He went back into his cave. So what she can do is she can write the hi-bye letter, and the first paragraph is what she loved and liked about him. The second one is the pain she had when he came back and had a wonderful night and then ghosted her. It hurt her feelings and she felt rejected, blah, blah, blah. The third paragraph is what she never wants in any relationship. The fourth is what she wants in a healthy relationship. And the fifth one is, thank you for this painful lesson so I never have to repeat it again.
It's been a month.
It doesn't matter, dear. People do this years later.
Decades later.
My question was, can she do it earlier than the 8 weeks?
Or she can't. A lot of women do. We recommend you wait. But in this case, if she's comfortable, she can send it sooner.
So, yeah.
Go ahead, Andy.
What I would say is ask her to write the letter, but not to send it. And then wait the 8 weeks. And at the end of the 8 weeks, right before she's going to send it, reread the letter, make sure it's what she wants to send. Mm-hmm. And it gets her out of her mind, and she can concentrate on other things. And then she's had time to think about it and feel things. And then she can revisit and see if it's still appropriate for what she wants to express. She can write the letter. Just may not want to send it at the end of 8 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
The hi-bye letter. It is recommended to do the 8 weeks, but so many women they want to get it over with. So I do recommend waiting at least as long as you can, but it is recommended 8 weeks because they usually will call you back. And when they do call you back, please do not scold them or be mad at them. Treat them with courtesy because they are reaching back. Yes, what they did was not right, but you can address that later by saying what you did hurt me. And then they either will apologize or maybe have a reason why they did it. And then you can take it from there. So what's your take on the hi-bye letter? It seems to be pretty big to reach back out.
Yeah, I like getting it out of my brain because it'll bug the heck out of me.
That's why they get impatient. I have women that want to send it the next day.
Well, that's why I say write it because it gets
in. Yeah. Right.
Get it out of your body.
Right. And you know what's funny is when you have them write it, they don't go on script. They go all over the board. And I have to tell them, put it in this paragraph way. I mean, they go from here to there on what you did. You did this. Then it goes how nice. It's all over the board. They're just dumping.
Right. And that's what I would call the first draft.
First draft. Perfect. Yeah.
So you've expressed yourself. The next question is, what you've expressed helpful? And if it's not, then okay, let's rewrite this section in this particular way with, you know, not way, but, you know, this thicker mindset of talking about the pain, not what you did, just the pain.
Yes.
Because a lot of this is about you, right?
It is about you because they want to make it about that person, but it's really about you. And the reason it's important is you got hurt. And everybody's going to get hurt in life. He did it for, maybe he had something going on that something trauma triggered him. So we send it so that you can release your anger or frustration or hurt feelings as best you can by expressing it to him. And sometimes he reads it and says, yes, you know what? This is a nice letter. I'm going to reach back and apologize. That way you're able to move on without thinking that another man's going to do the same thing. It's like closing the door to start a new relationship. And most of the time, these guys do come back. Sometimes they come back and apologize and say they're not ready for a relationship, but they're sorry they did that. You deserve better. And sometimes they say, I made a mistake. I was scared. I thought you didn't like me, blah, blah, blah. I've heard so many incidences from men.
Well, I look at it also as a practice, because how you practice is how you play. And if you're writing with the accusations, you're also talking the same way.
Yes.
So writing it this way with just a bunch of I statements.
Yes.
Allows you to practice communicating that way. And then you have a better talk later down the road.
That's because you're training your brain to talk from the I, which is feminine, instead of you, which is attacking.
Right. So if you can write the letter, you can then communicate in a way that we suggest, right? In the way that Dr. Allen suggests.
Yes.
Then you can also communicate later and later. Just call it practice.
Yes, that's perfect. Well, I hope she gives this to her friend for help. And you know, it does sound like the guy doesn't want a relationship, but he may have Dr. Pat talks about that rumination. Think, feel. He didn't want to let her get away and he wanted another time with her.
Well, yeah. There's two people at play here. There's two things at play.
Yes.
One is she asked on a Tuesday, and if she had good boundaries, she would have said, hey, I need to know by Thursday at 6 p.m. or Wednesday at 8 p.m. or whatever the date was.
Oh, yes.
If I don't hear from you, the answer is no.
Yeah. Can you let me know by Thursday so I can give the tickets to somebody else? Yeah, that would be a good boundary.
Yeah, she didn't ask for that, and he didn't really break any rules because there was no boundary to.
That's true. She didn't request. She just said, are you willing to go? And he said he'd get back to her.
Yeah, so he could have answered 11:59.
He gotten back to her too and said, gee, I'm getting back to you. Oh, yes, yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't look at it that way, Andy.
So it's not, it's not just about him. I mean, it is both people. And that's why boundaries are so important. So you can set that. Hey, you know, you have every right to say no. I just need to know by, you know, Wednesday night, saying that somebody else will make other plans. And if I don't hear from you, I'll just assume it's no. And you're off the hook.
Yeah.
Though I'd prefer you tell me yes or no.
Yes. Good point. Yeah. Clear communication. That's what Dr. Pat always teaches. And I highly recommend listening to watching the streaming video, Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It's under our website, drpatallen.com, and it's under the free access tab. Dr. Pat's teaching a class, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I remember being there and watching that live. It's really good. It's highly recommended, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but, you know, communication, just like games, are a two-people game.
That's true. And it usually takes two people in a relationship to play the game.
Yeah, and we say game, but, you know, not all games are bad.
Yeah.
Just really fun games.
We have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I have a question for you. How are you guys?
Just fine, thanks.
So I'm new to the dating field, and I've tried going to Starbucks and being open and available, but I was wondering if there's any other advice that you had as far as, like, where to meet people my age, maybe like the movies or...
How old are you?
What's your best advice? I'm 40.
You're 40? Oh, okay. And are you in an area, a big city or out in the country, or... heavily populated, or what's your geographical? I mean, are there a lot of people in your area? Because some people are in small towns.
Yeah, I mean, a little of both. I'm definitely close to the beach and to the mountains, so I'm flexible on where I can go to meet people. But where's the best option?
What I recommend to my girls is if go take golf, go to golfing, go to the golfing driving ranges. You'll always have men there. Go buy a bucket of balls, hit as best you can, and men will always want to help you. And then afterwards, go into the country club, you know, for a drink or lunch, because they're all the men are there afterwards, after their rounds of golf. Or you can, if you have a dog or if you have a friend, go to dog parks and check out the time when most of the single men go or when most men go. And
that's a good idea.
And when you go to like a sports bar, you can go with your girlfriend, but sometimes men think they might be afraid to approach you, but you can go with one girlfriend. Don't go with a group of girlfriends, because then guys get intimidated coming up to the table. And when you're at the table, you look around to see if you see any guys, and you have to do the 5-second flirt. You have to stare at them and smile for 5 seconds until they notice you. That signals them that you're available to come, that they're available. You're available for them to come over and talk to you. And then when they come over, they may say something stupid and you just, you know, say, thank you for coming over. Oh, hi, you know, and then you just start a conversation. And Andy, you tell us, those are the thoughts. Those are the places that I tell. And meetup groups, meetup hiking groups are good ways to meet men too.
Oh, like my similar interests. Okay.
Yeah.
Anywhere you feel comfortable, start with that.
You can,
I like the golf idea. That's very smart.
The golf guys are always on the golf course. Mm-hmm. And you, if you're, you know, they're always hitting tees. So when you go, you look for, you know, where you think the guy, you put yourself where the guys are, whether they're married or not. You're duty dating. You're going out just to learn how to be, how to meet men and be the best dater you can be, that and learn how to have men approach you. That's a skill. And a lot of men are afraid. They look down and they don't give eye contact, and guys don't approach them.
Yeah, getting their eyeballs. The more you're in their eyeballs, the more they tend to like you.
Yeah, they're going to notice you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other advice that you have?
What was it? Used to be Toastmasters, where people would get, you know, like little groups where people would get together. I think Toastmasters was, they got met like once a month or something and gave up and gave speeches and stuff. Business people, any kind of business organization. If you Google what men like, a lot of men like to do volunteer work sometimes, it's soup kitchens. You just have to go and see where they are.
Okay. Great. Thank you, guys.
Car race.
Like, get out there.
Yeah, if you like, you know, where guys are, they like to go to the racetracks and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And only what, bring one girlfriend, not girlfriend.
Yeah, guys will not approach a herd of women, because then they get humiliated. The women tease the men. If you want to meet men, you go with one wing woman and you tell her, hey, you know, you're both here to meet people, but don't intimidate men when they come over by telling them, hey, I'm here with my girlfriend, leave us alone.
Okay.
That's what a lot of women do when they go with a pack. They tell the guys to get lost.
Yeah. Okay. That's great advice. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think you can find men just about anywhere if you really put your mind to it and you have the desire to meet one and you have the personality to attract them.
Yeah, yeah. Just takes conversation and the right timing too, because, you know, both you got to be in the place to want to date and move forward. But then again,
what
if the girl is like, I'm at a place where I don't really want to date right now, but there are some women I would absolutely change my mind for.
You would what? No, oh, really? But or did they? But did they signal you though? Or because nobody wants to be at a table with family members and some, you know, drunk is coming up bugging us. It's important that the women signal the man, and men usually know when they're signaled.
I'm oblivious. I don't know. I'm the guy that wears a shirt. If you're flirting with me, tell me.
Well, remember, we women look around the room and the guys are looking too, and you glance eye contact, and that's the scariest part, you know, because women go, don't stare at him, don't stare at him. So we look down, but you have to stare at him. That signals that you're interested because he's staring at you and you're staring at him. And that's the signal that you guys connected.
It does work. I do agree. Yes, it does work.
That's why a girlfriend will say, somebody's staring at you. And the other one's going, oh, should I look? And, you know, the girl, you know, we don't want to look and send him over if we don't like him. So if we turn around and look, it's like, we better be, we're looking to give eye contact. He's going to come over. And then you're like, oh, no, I look.
There's a very good reason people call in so often. I'd be calling in every day. Please help. Oh, my God. I don't understand this.
Anyway, well, we had two great callers. The first caller was excellent. I loved her calls. And good advice, Andy, about she is taking other people's advice as how to live her life. And that's not a fulfilling life. That's a script. She's living a script of what other people think she should do.
Yeah, I think she's being nice instead of kind.
Yes.
You know, the nice guy finishes last versus the kind guy does not.
Yes.
There's a difference. So, go ahead.
And I was also thinking maybe when they first met, if she had stronger boundaries instead of letting it go for a year, because she basically accepted it his way. So when you suddenly accept it, she tolerated it, and then she blew up later. Set the contract, what you want and what you don't want in the beginning.
Right. So, yeah, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you want, what you don't want, how can you be – the other person has nowhere to stop.
He got his way. He got his way. He wanted it this way, and she tolerated and did it her way, even if it, when it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, so look at it like a compass, right?
Yeah, what?
Like, I'm at 210 degrees for, you know, this particular thing. And I'm going, well, if you don't tell me that, I've got 359 others to choose from. So I might be going totally opposite. I might go and just askew you. Like, I'm willing to re-steer my car, but I need to know what direction you're in.
That's true.
And yeah. If we're trying to people please, you don't tell them that.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, we're running out of time. So next week we're going to have Andy, Kathy Katz, and myself on. So we'll have three coaches on to help you. So please join us next week. And I want to say thank you, Andy. And anything you want to say to the audience?
Just be well, audience. Thank you, Sue. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.